holding space for your child's feelings is often easier said than done. When your child is struggling in some way, it can be so easy to fall into the trap of trying to cheer them up, solve their problem, or even convince them that there's nothing to be upset about. In previous episodes, I've talked about conversational tips for active listening as a way of holding space for a kid's big feelings, and also the ways parents can inadvertently shut down conversations with kids that could have been opportunities for connection. I've also shared one of my most loved parenting tools, the 5 Secrets of Effective Communication, a technique from the therapy modality called Team CBT. If you'd like to listen to the episodes I'm referring to, you'll find the links to them in the show notes of this episode. And in today's episode, I'm doing a 5 Secrets deep dive with Chelsea Dorsich, a level 4 Team CBT therapist who works with children and adolescents. We talk about great tips for using the 5 Secrets to hold space for your child, as well as build or repair your connection with them, or even with yourself. Welcome back to Project Parenthood. I'm your host, Dr. Nanika Kaur, clinical psychologist and respectful parenting therapist. Each week, I'll help you repair and deepen your parent-child connection, increase self-compassion and cooperation from your kids, and cultivate joy, peace, and resilience in your relationship with them. Chelsea Dorsich is a Black-identifying, licensed, marriage and family therapist and mother of 3 in California. She uses cognitive behavioral therapy, also known as CBT, team CBT, inference-based CBT, mindfulness, yoga, and acceptance and commitment therapy to work with kids, adolescents, adults, and families. Here's my chat with Chelsea. Hi, everyone. I'm here now with Chelsea Dorsich, a licensed marriage and family therapist in the state of California. Chelsea's a mother of 3, uses cognitive behavioral therapy plus team CBT and ICBT, mindfulness, yoga, and ACT to work with kids, adolescents, adults, and families. She loves working with anxiety, OCD, ADHD, parenting, and many other areas. Chelsea, thanks so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Before we jump into everything, can you just give us the quick and dirty definitions for some of the kinds of therapy you use that I just sort of listed off? I love for our parent listeners just to get a little window into the different kinds of therapies that are out there. So I mentioned cognitive behavioral therapy, team CBT, ICBT, and ACT. Can you tell us what those are?
Yeah, so cognitive behavioral therapy, that's going to work mostly with our cognitions and just thoughts and our thought processes and how they relate to our feelings and even our actions. And so it's a lot of work with just kind of gaining a microscope on what our thinking patterns are and how we can actually use that to kind of help shift our way of perceiving things and receiving. And so team gets a little bit more specific with that, where it really goes into we use testing, where we really work on looking at where our clients are before and after sessions, their levels of feelings and emotions, empathy, which is where the 5 secrets that we're talking about today comes in, setting an agenda, so making sure we're really goal-oriented, and then the methods, so that's team. ICBT is inference-based cognitive behavioral therapy. Kieran O'Connor and Frederick R. Dima were psychiatrists that developed this for OCD. So it really breaks down. Basically, it's different than traditional exposure response prevention therapy for OCD. It really looks at actually similar how we follow this imaginative narrative with our OCD. And it's I love it. It's amazing. It's worked wonders with myself, my clients. And then ACT is So Russell Harris does a lot of work out of Australia with ACT, and it's acceptance commitment therapy. So it's my take on it, and I could be speaking wrong, but it's a beautiful blend of cognitive behavioral therapy and mindfulness, where it ties in a lot of mindfulness. I love it. The grounding work, just acknowledging and not having judgment on, you know, our thoughts and our perceptions, but just acknowledging and really ties a lot back to our values. So it's one of my favorite things to work with, just very value oriented.
I love that. Thanks so much. And yes, today we are going to be talking about the 5 secrets of effective communication. And I think it's so important. I've done a podcast episode about that before. And at the same time, you know, I think it's just really interesting to think about how to use those particular things with children. And I love that you bring that mindfulness piece in with ACT, and even the inference-based, right? Like values, like what are your values? I think like all of these things sort of give us some tools to use along with the 5 secrets and things that we can keep in mind when we're trying to use the 5 secrets, which are so hard to do, I'm finding. And yet it is so amazing and so, I don't know, transformative when you're able to use them. And also when someone is sort of using them in return, right? It just feels, you really just feel so met. You'd use the term empathy. And I'd love to talk more about that empathy piece. So as we're sort of about to sort of dive into what the 5 secrets are, if people haven't heard my other podcast about it, can we just talk about that empathy piece and like, you know, what the 5 secrets are, why empathy is so important, and like why this could be such a transformative thing to use in communication with other people that you want to be connected to?
Yeah, I agree. Empathy is just, it is transformative is a beautiful word for that. I think so the 5 secrets are basically empathic, assertive, and respectful way. And David Burns breaks it down into those 3 sections. So the empathy section are the first 3, which is disarming. And that our goal is just to find the truth in what the person is saying, even if it's the needle in the haystack, even if it's the smallest granule piece of truth, it's their truth. It's what they're experiencing, what they're seeing. And we're finding that. And the other piece is empathy of the empathy section, which is thought empathy and feeling empathy. So our thought empathy is really, this is where I love the mindfulness I really carry into this, is it's being present and really just, okay, I'm going to actually say back to you what you just told me, like, oh yeah, you want to play with me before school. That's what you're, you know, and feeling empathy is really picking up on their feelings. So what's huge for me is this, where again, the mindfulness is, it's the connective piece. And this is where I think it becomes transformative. We really get that much more connected to someone when we're utilizing the empathy tools. We're not jumping to conclusions. We're not going from point A to point Z. We're staying right here in this moment, and we're really connecting and we're picking up, okay, what is it that they're seeing? What's their perspective right now? And that's where the disarming, what are they telling me right now? I'm not putting words in their mouth. I'm taking their words and I'm trying to really fully understand it. Because by repeating what they're saying to me and paraphrasing it, I'm actually feeling that much more connected to like, where are they at right now? I want to get into their shoes. And then the feeling empathy I love, especially as with children, is that we have a lot of children still are learning the emotions and the feeling words and the labels. And, you know, and if we can start that dialogue and start, gosh, you know, I have to imagine you're feeling really sad and actually even frustrated right now. And, you know, that might be a new word for them. And so to give them those tools, even to put labels on their own emotions and to be able to identify it and put a name to it, it gives them so much more to work with as they get older and more emotionally intelligent, emotionally attuned. Yeah. And then the last 2 or the next 3, I guess. So inquiry is the 3rd one. That's part of being assertive. So it's really just, that's still part of empathy technically. And that's just checking in. Like that could just be, can you tell me more about what, you know, what this is like for you right now? Or am I getting this right? Like if you're saying like, I have to imagine you're feeling frustrated, does that sound right? Or am I getting you? Again, that big connection piece, really trying to find that true connection to where they're at in that moment. The assertiveness is the next section after empathy. And that we have the I feel statement. So this is really huge. I think this is one of the hardest things as therapists and even as parents to actually, we don't catch ourselves using this one, is just put in your own feelings. Like, gosh, I'm feeling really sad too that we don't get to play before school. I love our time together. And I wish we could just do this all day and not go to work or school today. So it's really making them like, oh yeah, you're getting this too. Like you have feelings, or, you know, yeah, I feel frustrated. I feel stuck, you know, just owning it. And the last section is the respect. And that's where, you know, it could be called stroking or affirmation. And it's really just really finding something and really acknowledging what it is that you love about that person in front of you. And it doesn't have to be specific to that moment. You know, it can be, but it could just be just, gosh, simple as like what I said, I love spending time with you too. And that's one of my favorite things to do is just, you know, connect with you and it makes them feel seen and loved. You know, you're honing in on positive characteristics, their strengths, or, you know, or I just even say, I love that you're just telling me that what you want to do right now, and you're using your words and find a way to communicate it with me. Like that's huge. I love that. And I know it's not always easy to be able to do that or something like that, but yeah, so that, those are the five, the disarming empathy, which is both thought and feeling empathy, inquiry, I feel statements, and then the stroking or affirmation section.
Yeah, thanks for that. It's really important, I think, when you talk about this mindfulness piece, how much mindfulness is necessary even to use these five secrets, right? I mean, even for them to come online for you, right? When there's, especially if there's emotionality happening, your own or your child's, whoever you're trying to communicate with, sometimes you just sort of start speaking from that emotional place rather than your sort of thinking place when you're sort of a little bit in fight or flight or your emotions are taking over. I'm actually doing a Five Secrets course right now with Heather Clake. And one of the things she said the other day, which I thought was so helpful, that, you know, when you're sort of in that fight or flight place, that the what comes to your mind isn't like the things you think, but the things you've learned, like your learned things come to mind. So that's why practicing is so helpful, because you can't really think straight so much when you're a little activated, and you just sort of go into like rote things. So if what's rote is the five secrets, that's helpful. So that's very helpful. And so, you know, really going back to something that came up as you were talking, that mindfulness piece, the ability to go slow enough to access those things in your own mind, is sometimes really challenging, especially if your child is super activated or tantruming or what have you. But the idea of just really trying to be in their shoes and not sort of fast forwarding to like, how do we fix this? Or how do I defend myself or explain, like, this is why I said whatever, or this is why you have to do blah, 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 right? Just being able to sort of stay present for a second and notice, like, in and say out loud, like, in this moment, here is, you know, what I'm hearing is happening for you, right? And I don't know what the term is. Maybe you can remind me, but something David Burns talks about, like zero, something about zero, like not putting anything in it, like being something about like not putting any of your own statements into the five secrets, something about zero something. The word zero is in there somewhere. But
got it. And now I'm blanking out. Yes, you're right, though. It's really leaving your ego at the door, right? Like it's not. And I think this is where I really connect, because I love conscious parenting too. I love everything that you do. It's because to me, it's similar to conscious parenting. We're not bringing in all of our stuff. We have to look at what's in front of us and what's okay, and making sure that that's not then impacting how we are connecting or now unable to connect with our child, because we're, like you said, going right way to fixing or problem solving, or yeah, just already jumping the, you know, like I said, A to Z. We skipped all those other 24 letters. We didn't even get to those points yet.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's another thing that's coming to me too, is just as parents are listening right now, when is a good time to even use the five secrets? Like when might a parent find this to be a good tool to use in their parenting?
Yeah. So I think I found the way when I first learned this as a therapist, gosh, like 7 years ago, when I first went to David Burns' little classes at Stanford, I literally practiced at home. That was like with my own children. And it was, and it honestly, any moment it could be. And I think most, especially it's going to be just like you're talking about with Heather Clegg, the amazing Heather Clegg has said that, like, just when you're in the fight or flight. So if you're in a more emotionally heated or just a more triggering moment, it's going to be harder to practice that. So it's finding even just those moments, like your child comes home from school and they're super happy and everything's great. Just, you know, like connect, use that moment to like say, and I say, pick one secret to begin with. And I really think feeling empathy is an amazing one to start with, just to really then it's, you're already then kind of force yourself to connect with, okay, what are they feeling? But you could pick anyone. And I would say, just start there, pick one of the secrets and say, I'm going to work on this one today. You can work on it with, I mean, if you go to work, your coworkers, you can just like sprinkle it in here with your partner, your parents, your kids, you know, anywhere. But I think just really start with one secret. I think that's going to be, because I think that's where we kind of falter, is the two reasons is we're trying to squeeze them all in into one interaction. And that's just not, it's not realistic. It's, you know, even it's not going to be as organic and natural. It's going to be very forced. And then you're not going to feel like you're doing something authentic. And having that authentic connection. So I think, yeah, picking one, and then maybe each day or each week, once you get comfortable and confident of that one secret, you add in another one, and you're looking for ways to kind of sprinkle them in throughout your interactions.
Yeah. So you're sort of saying one good time to use them is, you know, especially when you're practicing, is just any time, you know, that you come in contact with your child, but also especially like those times that are, I sort of call them like low stakes moments, right? Where it's sort of like, it's fine. Nobody is desperate for my empathy in this moment. You know, like it's, you know, I'm just sort of practicing. No one's going to die if I get it wrong. Like everything is going to be okay. Right. It's not like in the moment, everybody's heart is beating fast. And, you know, it's sort of in these more connected, more relaxed moments is a great time to practice. And so when in your work with families, I imagine you're talking to your families about using the five secrets, or, you know, letting them know that this is a tool that they, that can help them with their parent-child connection. And what do you see parents struggling with the most in using the five secrets? What kinds of things do you see popping up that are getting in their way?
Yeah, I think the first thing is probably, in all honesty, is, well, no, I know what's like, is best in the situation and not, you know, and I can come back at like, yes, you're the parent, you understand, you've been there, done that, you understand the situation, you can see this from an outside perspective. So it's hard for me to be, it's harder for parents to be, kind of have more genuine, authentic empathy when it's like, well, I don't actually agree with any of this. So it's really that I have to, we're disarming is one of the hardest ones, I think, because it can come across very inauthentic and very disingenuous. Like that, where they might not think you're actually being empathic if you say, you know, yeah, it's not fair. But if you have even the slightest bit of like just sarcasm or just really like you're not really getting it, it's not going to come across genuine. So I think that's where I say you have to be honest. Like, say, I'm struggling right now because I'm not seeing that part of it. Like, you know, I hear you saying this, and I'm really struggling. I really want to connect with you with this. I want to understand that. And then you're going to go to the other secrets, and it's going to, that conversation evolve. But if you're kind of shutting down the moment, saying this is the way it is, right? So I think these force us to be more open and communicative, and not so all or nothing, black and white. That there's some gray right here, and let's explore it together. And I think the second thing is, like you've already mentioned, is it's the problem solving and the fixing. I think as a parent, our natural tendency is to want to fix things for our kids and make it right. And I think when we do jump to that, we actually inadvertently dismiss the feelings that they're experiencing, dismiss that situation, and kind of almost say without words, like, oh, it's fine. You need to just get over that. Let's do this, right? Like, or like, those aren't feelings we're supposed to have, you know, like, especially with anger, right? Ooh, we're not supposed to have that. Like, you're basically saying, nope, better move on. It's like, no, let's sit with this anger. I want to actually acknowledge it and say, yeah, you're angry. I would, you know, like, it makes me angry too when people do X, Y, Z, or, you know, or this happens to me. I'm super angry and frustrated too. Like, so it's just, it's really honing in on the moment. So, yeah.
Another thing that came to me as you were talking, not just the fixing or the sort of not being able to see it from their point of view or not agreeing, right? I don't agree with what you're saying, so I can't empathize with you. Is also this idea maybe sometimes of being like, I'm the authority figure. Like, I shouldn't have to really take your thing into account. Like, you just need to listen to me, or, you know, this is an adult thing, like, or you just, you know, sort of my way or the highway, or just like the fear of like, maybe like losing face or something, or maybe I'm giving something away if I agree, or I'm some kind of like admitting something on my end, like admitting some fault or something like this, that may be challenging for some parents or any person in authority, even therapists, right? Like, just, it may be hard for me to say, like, as the person who's, you know, had all this training and I've been to school, and my client says, you know, here's something that hurt my feelings. And it's like, well, let me tell you all the reasons why that shouldn't have hurt your feelings, and or why I was doing the right thing, and or, you know, just becoming defensive in some way, right? That's so hard though, as a parent, right? Because we're just humans. We're just human beings, and things hurt us too. And I really like what you're saying about the fact that in that I feel part of the five secrets, you can just say, I'm really struggling with this. Like, you're allowed to struggle. Like, it's hard for me as a parent to hear you saying this. Like, you can say that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what if you could just be honest? You could just be honest with your child and say, this is really hard to hear in this moment. I'm having a hard time. Let me slow down and take a breath. This is hard for me to hear, but I really want to be in this with you. Right? Like, you both things can be true. Like, it can be hard to hear. It can be hurtful to hear. And you can also maybe like put those feelings on pause for a second while you're holding the space for your child in this moment. It doesn't mean that your feelings don't matter or what's going on for you doesn't matter. It's just sort of like in this moment, it's your kid's turn. Like, your turn will be next, but like, it's your kid's turn now.
Yeah. And you can even think of it, it's your turn to actually model this, right? We're big on like, the reality is we're going to have ruptures in parenting. It's not without question, right? The idea is that, can we model these repairs? So similarly, can we model, like, have this empathic communication, this effective communication? Because I can tell you, obviously no one's perfect at it, but like, when I know that I've been really trying to hone in on it, I can see it this morning. I saw my 6-year-old ask my 9-year-old, like, are you feeling sad? I feel like you're feeling sad right now, right? Like, just to like have that, those like tools to like pick up and just really connect with others, right? Just to like, so I think I love it. That's perfect. What you said, just, yes, you're modeling and it's okay to pause and just be okay and be honest. Like, it's not making you a weaker parent. It's making you a stronger parent to just do that. And I think that's what we are afraid of too, is like, are we losing our post as a parent to say, like, you know, to not just be, have that authority edge to it. Right. But we're not, we're actually probably modeling so much more.
So much more. I mean, I love that what you say about your 6-year-old. I love that, you know, just having the conversation, just making that space for your child, you're also showing your child how to make that space for another human being. Sometimes maybe you, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe you, right?
Oh, yeah. My kids have definitely asked me, do you need a moment? Like, are you feeling it? Like, do you need to take a deep breath, right? And I love that. Like, you know, because your first inclination is like, don't tell me to take a deep breath. But it's like, but the fact that they asked me wasn't like they told, right? Because I've modeled that before. Like, is this a moment where you need to take a break? Or like, and it's like, and I've been like, yes, I'm so overwhelmed right now. Thank you for like catching that right now. This is super helpful.
Right. I mean, you're describing a moment in which you felt seen by your own child.
Yes. Amazing. Yes. Amazing.
Amazing.
It's gold.
It is gold. I mean, we talk so much on Project Parenthood about, you know, all the tools and all the ways that we sort of work on our inner selves and work with our children to help them feel seen, right? But so many of these things like end up sort of in a boomerang way, someday coming back at us in a positive way, right? Like you're talking about in this modeling, right? We don't know when it's going to happen. We're not doing this so that it will happen. That's not the goal necessarily, but it's oftentimes like a happy byproduct of these
Absolutely.
Using these tools. So going back to the five secrets a little bit, the sort of nitty gritty of it, the logistics, what are some like do's, if we're thinking of do's and don'ts, you know, what are some do's with the five secrets with children, with your children, with children in general, you know, if you're a teacher out there, you know, with people who work with children, you know, like what are some things to keep in mind when we're trying to use the five secrets when we're talking to children?
Yeah, I think, you know, first of all, we've already mentioned, but just really is being present, like just to let kind of like our ego, let like background stuff go and just really just hone in on what's in front of us. What's being said, body language, you know, how do you hear things coming out, and just really taking all those pieces together to kind of help you make that connection. I think another big do, like I said, was just really just start with one secret at a time, just, you know, and practice it, even with your partner or if you have a therapist, right? Yeah. Just say, hey, can I, or whomever, right? A friend, you know, just say like, I'm working on this, like more effective communication with my child. Can I practice on you? You know, I think it's, or just even bring it up to your child, be honest. Say like, I'm really trying to make sure we're connecting well, you know, and depending on their age, like this is something I want to work on. And so, you know, I'm going to try doing this if, you know, and you can ask them for feedback. That's another thing, like, right. This is where the ego needs to go, right? We want to hear feedback because we want to know like what's working. Because if we could just sit here and think we're doing the five secrets, but if we're not getting like a good reaction from our children aren't really feeling it, we want to tweak it. We want it to be effective. You know, definitely with younger children, I always recommend have visuals like for feelings like around the house, because I love being able to have those accessible to say for the children that, you know, they can say, if you're saying, I imagine you're feeling lonely or frustrated or angry, and you can be pointing to those visuals and they help them say, yeah, that's what I'm feeling. Or like, no, not quite. You know, I want, and they can point to the one they are feeling. Or if you are labeling your feelings, like the I feel statement, it gives them a visual of like, oh, this is where mom's at right now. This is, you know, like, and talking that, I mean, and visuals, obviously there's no age, you can have them until they're older, but it just, I think it's so helpful, especially as we're really building that emotional intelligence in our children at a younger age, is to give them as many tools as possible. So if that means visual cues, if it means words that, you know, from our mouth, but yeah. And I think just the other tip I would say for do is mirroring their intensity. Like if, you know, they, like my child this morning, when they wanted to keep playing before going to school, and like, it's not fair. I'm like, you're right. It's totally not fair. Like, I want to just keep playing with you. This is my favorite time, but I have to go to work. You have to go to school. This is, you know, so what, you know, and then we can, it's instead of like this, sorry, we're late, we got to go, you know? So it's because that, at least for my, especially one of my children, it's their heels are on the ground. They will stop at everything. Cause they're like, you're not hearing me. You're not seeing me. And me, they're not verbally saying that, but that's, their body starts to shut down. It's not, this is not, they're not feeling seen. So if we can just mirror that honesty or that their intensity and really hone in. And I think the big last big do is what you already kind of touched with the fight or flight. If our children are just dysregulated, it's don't try to force anything. It's just sometimes just being there. My favorite book in our household is The Rabbit Who Listened. And so it's like one of those things where just the rabbit who just sat there, right? It just, and sometimes that's what our children need. So just to take that moment and not have to force, you know, these strategies or, and actually last one is the modeling, but like take a break. Maybe your child needs a break, like model, you model, take a break. Wow, this is a very, like, we're talking about some really heavy stuff right now, especially like an adolescent, right? Or just a young adolescent teen. But I feel like I need a pause for a minute, just like you had said earlier, like just, I need to take a little pause and kind of ground myself so that I want to make sure what I'm saying is really connected to you and not, you know, I'm not going off the deep end and, you know, saying something I'm going to regret. So I think modeling those breaks, modeling those repairs, matching their intensity, start with one secret at a time. Don't rush it. Don't force it. Yeah.
Mm, I love this. I love this. I feel like I just want, like, I want you to like, be in a little box that just sits on my shoulder and just like says yeah. all those things to me all the time when I'm like flipping out in a parenting moment.
Right?
Oh my gosh. Just ground yourself, Nanika. Just take a break. It'll be fine. You can keep it together. You can do it. All those like encouraging things. So on the flip side, what are some things to keep in mind to like try to keep yourself from doing or not to do if you want to use the five secrets to be a connecting tool between you and your child?
I think one, and this is gonna, it's more personal, I just by nature tend to deflect to sarcasm or wittiness when like in a more of maybe an adult situation or just life. And so that's what I've really had to watch myself with, is just not using sarcasm, because one, depending on the child's age, it can go right over their head and they don't understand it, and then it makes the situation way more confusing and a disconnect, or two, they do understand the sarcasm and it can hurt feelings. It's, you know, it's definitely, I've done it before. And my 6-year-old is like, no, you're not. Like, they, it's just like the, what they say back is like, nope, you're right. I got to own it. I should not have said it like that. Let me start over and say that again. But yeah, it's the cheering up, like, this morning, my daughter, it's just this inclination. You see your child sad or look just off and you just want to like, cheer up, or like, oh my gosh, no, but look at this positive side. Look at the glass half full. And I am a very optimistic, idealistic person. So this is part where I struggle too, or just, it's not to say that that's not a great way to look at life and have that positive thinking. But in that moment, that's telling my daughter like, no, like, you know, those, I feel like when I heard it, suck it up, it's fine, get over it. Like, and that's not what we're trying. That's not my goal right now, is to tell her to do it. It's like, I don't want you to be unhappy because that makes me like feel uncomfortable. But the reality is all emotions, we all experience all emotions. So to be, and that's, I think that's the thing, honor that this is an emotion you experience right now. So we use those five secrets to hone in and honor and acknowledge that they're experiencing that emotion and not try to quickly solve it, cheer them up, tell them to kind of move on quickly. Because in the end, that goes the exact opposite way. We dismiss and invalidate that feeling that's in the moment. And yeah, miss that great opportunity to just have that connection, have that teaching moment.
Yeah, I love those words you're using, the words like honor, like honoring their feelings, honoring the emotion. It is challenging to see your child struggling. And you know, it makes sense that it would be challenging. I mean, we're wired that way so that we take care of our children. It makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense that it is uncomfortable for us. At the same time, as you're saying, sometimes we inadvertently, when we try to start fixing and cheering up and stuff like that, we inadvertently send the message that, you know, you need to always be projecting a feeling of like, I'm fine, right? No matter what you actually are feeling inside. And as you're saying, like, this is not our intention to send that message. We might care very deeply about what our child is feeling. And so we're going to make a joke. We're going to say something sarcastic. We're going to tell them to look on the bright side. We're going to do all these things that are coming from that place of like, I just love you.
Right? Totally.
But it may not be landing like that for them. You know, our intentions don't always like get over the net in the way we intended.
Yeah. I mean, those are the moments you can do the affirmation of stroking, like, gosh, I care about you so much that I have to admit, I'm feeling sad seeing you sad. I'm feeling a little uncomfortable because there's that inner part of me that wants to fix this, but I really just would love for you to tell me more about like kind of what's going on right now for you. And I want to be there for you. Right. Just, you know, just as simple as that. Just, yeah.
That's big. And that will be the quote that I'll be using on Instagram to promote this episode, because that is so perfect. That is so perfect. That is exactly what we need. We need these little, so many of my families, they just want a script, right? And it's sort of like, this is such a good script, right? Like, it gives you the stroking piece, the affirmation piece, like, you know, telling your child, I really do love you. And also putting a little, I feel in there. And also, it's so hard for me to see you struggling like this. But that doesn't mean I'm saying never show me that you struggle.
Right.
Like it's just that's my thing that's happening on my end. And that's what's happening for me right now. But please tell me more about your struggle. Like, I'm opening the door. I'm opening the space for your struggle. I often say like to parents that, you know, imagine you have a bucket and you're just like, pour the feelings in, just like hold the bucket. You're just like holding the bucket, you know, like let them pour them in. And, you know, it's hard to do. It really is hard to do because we are not robots. We get stirred up by our children being in struggly states. And so it makes sense that it is really, really hard to, you know, put all of our ego aside, put all of our fixes and cheer ups and all that stuff like to the side for a moment. To really just make space for them. It's super hard to do. But it's just so meaningful and so worth it, I find. And even, you know, when I listen to the Feeling Good podcast, David Burns's podcast, when I hear in those demos that he does, the live demos that he does, the personal therapy, you know, when I hear someone, him or another of the other therapists giving that empathy to someone, I just think to myself, oh my gosh, like, what if I could talk like that? Like, what if I could like really hold space in these ways? Like, it's like I feel seen, even though it's not my problem or my situation at all. I feel like, oh my goodness, that's just so heartfelt and it means so much, you know? It would be so lovely to be even able to express my positive and loving feelings for other humans in this way. Because sometimes I feel just tongue-tied even doing that, you know? Like, I have a lot of positive things to say, but I don't know how to get them over to you. And so it's really even another tool for that, just for, you know, having a little formula for telling someone how much they mean to you and how important they are to you. I love that about the five secrets. I'm a little bit of a five secrets nerd. I don't know if you know that about me. Yeah. but as we're coming to the end, you know, I just wondered if you had any other tips for parents who are new to the five secrets, who want to practice the five secrets, who want to learn more about the five secrets. What little tidbits might you have for parents and who are on that, the beginning of their five secrets journey?
Yeah, I think, so I'm going to use the word reflection. I think this is like my favorite thing to do at the end of the day. It's just, it's a very mindfulness practice too, but it's to reflect on the day. And even if you haven't started using the five secrets, reflect on your interactions with your children and really replay them and see, okay, where could I have inserted some five secrets? And I encourage you to both write out the practice of 5 secrets and record yourself on your phone, wherever, and just, you know, on your way to work, whatever it is, if you can just record yourself, like pick a interaction and say, I wish I had, you know, this is where I could have used some of these 5 secrets. Rewrite it, write it out. Like, what would you have done differently? How would you have said it differently? How would you incorporate these 5 secrets? And then record it and see how you sound, because then it's going to really, those are the two ways, I think, is just practice writing it out, practice saying it and listening to it so that you hear it and you have time to tweak it. Because like you said earlier, like this becomes our rote practice then, right? So obviously, every situation is going to be different. We're not going to be able to use these same words verbatim, but we're going to get comfortable with those I feel, or, oh my gosh, I have to imagine you're feeling X, Y, Z. Can you tell me more about that? So there's going to be certain words we're going to be able to use over. And it's the more we practice it, the more it's also we're going to ingrain it, and it becomes more part of us and authentic when it rolls off. So we don't feel like we're, quote unquote, reading a script, right? So we can use other people's examples and use that to create your own. Because I feel like that's going to be more natural for you in those times of, I'm a little triggered. You're going to be able to come back to those, as opposed to like, oh, I had to remember that script that, you know. But if you're the one practicing writing it, you're listening to yourself say it, it makes a huge difference in just reflecting and just, please, no judgment. Just, you know, everyone's human and we're all fallible. You have to roll with it, acknowledge, you know. Use it, anything as a, okay, this is my motivator for tomorrow. It's not a judgment for today. It's a motivator for tomorrow.
I love that. Not a judgment for today, just a motivator for tomorrow. And as you were talking, you were reminding me of something I did myself over the weekend as a self-compassion exercise. I tried to use the 5 secrets for myself. You know, Chelsea, I was having a little bit of a time last week and I was having some trouble making this interview happen. And I was feeling very overwhelmed. By the time Saturday rolled around, I was feeling very overwhelmed and like stressed out and all kinds of things. And I was feeling just like really like vibrating overwhelmed. And I sort of like in a mindfulness way, in a self-compassion-y way, right? And that sort of, you know, Kristen Neff kind of like, you know, wanting to be self-kind and like wanting to like think about the common humanity of feeling overwhelmed as a mom in the world on this particular Saturday where the trains weren't running. You're not in New York, but it was all whole thing. And so I was just sort of in my mind, sort of giving myself the 5 secrets, just trying to calm myself down, right? And I was just sort of thinking about how, like, of course you're upset. Of course you're overwhelmed. Like, these are all these things that are happening. And of course you feel like this. And of course you're thinking this. And it was really helpful. It was helpful in many ways. A, it was like distracting. Like, I couldn't think of how to put the 5 secrets together for myself and also be stressing out about the thing. Like, I could only do one thing at a time. And then also it was really helpful. I mean, I honestly felt, and I know people talk about this, I mean, I felt so empathized with that I felt sadder kind of for a second. Like, I felt like, oh my gosh, I am sad. This is hard. Gosh darn it.
Yeah.
You know, and so on the one hand, it's like, I also feel like this another way to practice for parents could be practicing in a self-compassionate way, like not just doing do-overs for, you know, these sort of like reflective do-overs for your children. But I mean, you can do it for any person or any interaction, but also for yourself. Like, if you're feeling really bad, like try to 5 secrets yourself and see what happens, right?
I love that. That is beautiful. And yes, I agree, because I think if that is our way to, that's actually should be the first way to practice it, right? Just practice it on yourself. Like, because that is, it's I love this word that you use, transformative. It makes a big difference. It's just, and I think self-compassion is probably, as parents, is probably the last thing we do. So I think if we can do that, that's going to fill that tank for us to be compassionate, empathize with our children. So just that whole analogy of, you know, you put the air mask on first before you can give it to your children. So it's, yes, self-compassion first, then you're going to be fully, you know, ready to go to give that empathy and compassion to your children.
I love that. Oh, Chelsea, I love this conversation. I could talk about the 5 secrets forever, but we can't. And so before we sign off, I want to have you tell our audience about how they can get in touch with you if they happen to be in California and they want to work with you. How can they get in touch?
Yeah, absolutely. So I do have a website, chelseadorsuchlmft.com. There's also, you can email me. It's meta, M-E-T-T-A, at chelseadorsuch.lmft.com. So I think if you just Google Chelsea Dorsuch, it will come up. But yeah, I'm on Psychology Today. And yeah, I would love to. This is definitely one of my favorite areas to talk about. I'm on the same page. I could talk about it forever. And I think just behavior comes before motivation. So I think just parents that are just even struggling to get started, just try it. And I promise that it will slowly come to pieces, or maybe if you're lucky, it'll come faster, but it just to, yeah, just one step at a time.
Right. Thank you so much. Thanks for being here and sharing your expertise with us. And I hope to have many more conversations with you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Dr. Kaur. Appreciate it.
That's all for today's episode of Project Parenthood. Thanks for listening, and I hope you found this helpful. Be sure to join me live on Instagram at BKParents, that's BKParents, on Monday, February 26th at 12:45 p.m. for my monthly Ask Dr. Kaur, and get your questions answered in real time. If you have a question for me about parent-child relationships, respectful parenting tips, and or parental mental health that you'd like me to cover on a future episode, shoot me an email at parenthood@quickanddirtytips.com. Leave a message at 646-926-3243 or leave a message on Instagram at BKParents. And you can learn more about my private practice working with parents living in New York State at www.brooklynparenttherapy.com. Catch you next week. Project Parenthood is a Quick and Dirty Tips podcast. It's audio engineered by Dan Firebend. Our podcast and advertising operations specialist is Morgan Christensen. Our digital operations specialist is Holly Hutchings. And our marketing and publicity associate is Davina Tomlin. See you next week.